This is Leslie Trice with Legacy Title and Escrow. We are a full-service title company. If you need anything in your title service world, give me a call. 314-380-8600. We go above and beyond by design at Legacy Title.
Hey, this is Shanika Benson with A-List Realtors. We are a full-service real estate company. We are here to help you buy, sell, even purchase your first investment property. We're here to make homeownership easy and affordable and educate you on everything you need to know about real estate. When it comes to needing a realtor, I'm your girl. 314-565-9738. If it's about real estate, I'm woke.
For neighborhood fun and great pizza, stop by at Cafe Piazza, located at 1900 Arsenal Street in South City, St. Louis. It's just a block away from the Anheuser-Busch Brewery at the corner of Arsenal and Lim. Check out either their original hand-tossed pizzas, which are baked with mozzarella, parmigiana, and Mediterranean oregano, or their thick-crust Sicilian pizzas baked in olive oil along with Sicilian tomato filet sauce and Mediterranean oregano. They also have panini sandwiches, soups, and salads that can go along with your meal. You can also stop in for their brunch every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Cafe Piazza also brings fun to the neighborhood next door with the Benton Parkade, an entertaining spot filled with pool tables, arcade games, darts, and more. So head on over to Cafe Piazza and the Benton Parkade, located at 1900 Arsenal Street at the corner of Arsenal and Limp. Open Monday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday from 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday from 10 a.m. to midnight, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
City to city, state to state, worldwide, you listen to In the Zone, and this is the network. This is it.
City to city, state to state, worldwide, you're listening to In the Zone, and this is the network, Palmer Alexander, a.k.a. the living legend, K-I-L. One L and kill, but kill still kills. Joining me on our celebrity line, sponsored by Cafe Piazza, is Daniel Wallach. He is co-host of a great podcast called Conduct Detrimental. He is on our celebrity line in Russia right now, Russia with love. I'm getting a lot of love on that celebrity line. How you doing today, Dan?
How you doing? I prefer from Russia with law. I think from Russia with love is taken. And by the way, that was the best intro to any interview or podcast that I've had in my entire career. I don't know how you do that. That was, I mean, bottle that.
Well, I mean, and listen, alternate train lane put a little extra St. Louis sauce on it, but we wanted to make sure that you got a official, real introduction, you know, a king introduction like you deserve, man.
Okay, the king of St. Louis, I don't mind that, but I don't know how long the rain is going to last. It depends on this trial and hopefully continuing to deliver helpful insights on the lawsuit and the trial. You know, so, you know, the crown rests very wearily on my head. It's really a function of what happens going forward, but I think I made a pretty good start in St. Louis.
How does it feel being the it factor in St. Louis? I mean, and you know, you 14 hours away in Russia, but you have definitely have grabbed the hearts of a lot of St. Louisans who have been holding out hope for NFL football.
Well, I could tell you that I wasn't doing this by design. I was answering sort of the call of Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And I remember reading a column of his on September 14th in PFT. He was decrying the lack of national media coverage. And I was, at that time, you know, co-hosting my Conduct Detrimental podcast. And I'm always looking for some really good stories. And we came off of a long spate of, like, college amateurism, name, image, and likeness. And I found that stuff kind of boring. And I like the courtroom. I mean, the NIL was... Yes, legislation. I was looking for a really juicy NFL story. And Deshaun Watson was still not the kind of story I was looking for. And I had an epiphany. When Florio wrote that, I started to dive in and burrow into the case and maybe try to approach it from an angle no one else has. And I found, much to my surprise, no angles had been pursued other than the sort of the superficial aspect of the case on the most peripheral level. So I think there was a lot of untrammeled territory. Sorry for dropping a lot of legal words on you, but I just found that wherever I looked, there was some new terrain to establish on the issue of punitive damages, for example. I don't think a lot of people following the case understood what the prospect was for the NFL to be tagged with the kind of damage award that could multiply by a factor of 5 to 10. No one had considered that. It doesn't mean it will happen, but I think my into the case originally was by raising awareness around the risk that the league faced from getting socked with a huge punitive damages award. I did all my best stuff on Twitter, and it got an audience. And then I just kept burrowing and going down different rabbit holes. And I think before you know it, I've become like sort of obsessed with this case. And I wasn't trying to become the it factor. I don't even know if that's true. I'm not the it factor in my own household. You know, I'm ranked number 3 in a 3-person household, wife, dog, Daniel. But I think what shines through is that I'm really passionate about the case. And I'm not like, you know, it seems like I'm rooting, but I'm not really rooting. I'm just finding stuff that is just intriguing to me. And what people are reacting to is that, one, it's coverage. They're getting coverage of the issue. Number two, they're finding things out they didn't even know before. And most importantly, it's being viewed as being extremely helpful to the city of St. Louis's legal position. Believe me, if I was finding a lot of stuff that would bury the city and help the National Football League, and I wouldn't be allowed in St. Louis. So it's really a function of my passion as well as where this stuff falls in terms of the merits. And the more I look at it, the more I like where St. Louis is sitting.
That is so that makes it. Yeah. I'm sorry, that is the voice, Daniel Wallach. He is joining us on our Celebrity Line, sponsored by Cafe Piazza. And we're talking about how he got connected with the city of St. Louis. This lawsuit is huge. And listen, Dan, we was talking a lot before we got started. You know how, you can tell now, St. Louis is so emotionally invested in this. And you get the people who want the stadium. You get the people who are on the fence about, I mean, wanting a team, rather. And then you get the crowd that says, I don't want a football team. I want a settlement. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, because first of all, it's difficult for me to distinguish between whether there's like just great passion for football versus whether there's anger over the way the NFL has left and the way they, you know, screwed over the city with this sham of these relocation guidelines being applied. I sense that there's a tremendous football market within St. Louis, but there's also a lot of anger over how things went down. So, no, I've never seen anything like this before, because, honestly, this is the first litigation, the first case over a jilted city going all the way to a trial before a jury. Now, in the past, when the NFL's relocation criteria or their relocation policy went to trial before a jury, it's because the NFL tried to prevent Al Davis from leaving Oakland. It wasn't sort of the, you know, a discarded, disenfranchised city that was leaving, or that was suing. It was an owner who was being prevented from leaving. And I know the Cleveland Browns, you know, made some threats in the past when they lost their team. This is, for the first time in 40 years, this is the first case under which the NFL's relocation guidelines are going to be scrutinized by a jury, and how those guidelines get applied by the NFL. We're going to get to the truth. And the more we learn about the NFL behind the scenes, about how they operate, these emails and, you know, the way they do business outside the public eye, we're going to learn a lot of things in this jury trial if it doesn't settle. So, no, this has no precedent in, I think, the entire lifetime of the relocation guidelines, and certainly in my career of following legal cases involving the NFL. There's no comparative. You had the USFL trial, but it didn't have the same emotion
as this,
with the trial being held in the city of St. Louis. All the elements to sort of get, you know, it's more than just revenge, but it's like it's a trial in the location in front of the same city, the same jury that the league pulled a team out of. And that's like, oh my God, this is just wild, because It doesn't rise to the level of adverse pretrial publicity where you got to pull the case out of St. Louis, but it can't. It's certainly not a stretch or an exaggeration to say that the NFL, Stan Kroenke, the Rams, and the 32-member teams are going into hostile territory. There's no question about that. And the entire state of Missouri, with the exception of Kansas City, is probably hostile territory. So I don't think there's any way to avoid it.
That's pretty accurate. That's the voice of Daniel Wallace. He is joining us on our Celebrity Line, sponsored by Cafe Piazza. And let's stay on that feeling of passion you've had. You've had a couple of town halls, and that's another reason why I'm glad I got you on. A-Train Archin Lay, I'm going to get him on real soon. He was like, hey, man, you know, the town hall, I know Derek King did the town hall, and that's why I'm glad I got you on here. So we got you one-on-one. We can chop it up the way we want to. And one thing that I always wanted to get across, and I think when we was talking, I didn't mention Derek King earlier. And when I covered the Rams, I told you I covered them from, what, 04 to 2016. So, you know, when they left, and, you know, I was pretty heartbroken, obviously, but I felt it for the fans more so because I went through it the first time with the Big Red. So I was really hurt. I was 13 when the Big Red left. So when the Rams leaving now, I'm numb, but it doesn't hurt as much as that first time. But there's another generation of people that is now experiencing losing an NFL team for the first time and just kind of watching them agonize, go through that. And I was doing talk radio. I was on 590 at the time. And so I had to make that announcement on the air coming out of break that the Rams are now moving to LA. And you could, damn, man, my heart was in my, was pounding. You know what I'm saying? Because now I'm about to make this historic announcement on radio. So this story kind of brings out some of the best and the worst in a lot of people.
Well, how is this relocation worse than the St. Louis Cardinals? St. Louis Cardinals had a longer history in the city of St. Louis. They've been playing in the NFL in St. Louis for 30 years. And then Bidwell goes to Arizona. The Rams were pulled out of another market. They came from L.A. to St. Louis. We're only here for 20 years. Tell me why this is worse. Is this because of the manner in which the NFL made the decision, or was there just a bigger, like, more passion for the Rams than there were for the Cardinals? Because the Rams won a Super Bowl and they were a successful team, the greatest show on turf. Well, maybe not when you covered them, but, you know, not too long before when you covered them.
Yeah, and when I start covering them, they was kind of on the downside of the greatest show on turf. You know, matter of fact, 03, that's when I start writing for the American 04, but I start covering them in 03. So I guess when I stepped back and I looked at the 20 years when the Rams were here, that short window, they caught lightning in the bottle. So 16 out of the 20 years, they were absolute losers. So they was losers 80% of the time that they was here, and then they was kicking us on their way out of the door. I think that's the thing that I think that pisses a lot of people off, is that while they were winning championships, you know, selling out the dome downtown, they was already making inroads going back to California. And that's the one thing when I start chiming in on a lot of your tweets that, hey, this happened in this year, because I was the only one in St. Louis that when I was covering this that mentioned that in the LA Times that Stan Kroenke was paying city councilmen in Englewood checks up to $90,000, going back to 2006. So he was already greasing the skids in Englewood. But if, you know, you got to bring those different elements of a story to life, or it never gets talked about. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody here has their own way of attacking a story. So I just had to source the LA Times, and they was feeding me great information. That's why nobody was repudiating none of the stuff I was putting out.
Yeah, I didn't know it goes back that far in terms of a timeline and a strategy for, you know, positioning the team to move to Los Angeles. That was like 10 years before it actually happened.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely it was, because he made his first payment to the city councilman of $90,000. Going back to 2006, he made four payments of $90,000. And in 2014, Stan Kroenke paid an additional $211,000 in case there was a runoff election for Mayor Butts. But guess what? He won the election by 83% of the votes. So what did that other $211,000 miles go, right? It went right into his pocket.
Yeah, I mean, this is in some ways similar to what's happening with the 49ers. They were sort of at war with the city of Santa Clara. The city council is giving the 49ers a really hard time on the stadium issues, a lot of different legal matters like lawsuits. So what the 49ers did is they started contributing money to new candidates to beat the existing city council members and basically control the city council so that things would go their way. And it sounds that in many ways very similar to what you're describing about Stan Kroenke, trying to get in the favor of the city commission.
Yeah, and that was the other aspect. That's what strengthened my belief in that St. Louis will have a great way of proving fraud just by, the writing by the LA Times. So, and it was funny, the pushback that I was getting from people in LA about me sourcing the LA Times. Like, you guys are sourcing what Kroenke's doing. And it's a whole litany of things that often don't get mentioned. So that's what strengthened my belief. And of course, Bob Blitz, a guy that we talked about before we started recording.
Have you ever talked to Bob Blitz? I mean, that's an amazing name for a lawyer suing a football team.
He has
a football description in his last name. That's like, Tony Tackle or whatever. Bob Blitz. Is that real?
Listen, I that's another reason why I wanted to have you on, right? I had to tell you about the Bob Blitz, how that came about. I used that tweet a lot, right? Bob Blitz told me in 2015. So it was at the very first stadium renderings. They was at the Missouri Athletic Club it was in West County. And so Bob Blitz stood up there in front of new stadium renderings. And, we was talking about the stadium. And then I remember it was Bob Strauss. Who is he? Strauss? Joe Strauss. Is it Arlington? Joe Strauss? Joe Strauss, RP Joe Strauss. He asked him, what are we going to do, if we don't get it, NFL stadium or whatnot. And then, Bob Blitz like, listen, I'm not worried about that. And so I got a one-on-one with him to the side. And I remember my very last question, asked him, I said, so Bob Blitz, what's going to happen to St. Louis if we lose the Rams? And he looked me directly in the face. He said, St. Louis will remain an NFL city one way or another. And he didn't laugh. He didn't smile. And so I chuckled, right? And I think he's going to chuckle back, chuckle. Oh, he was pissed. He was pissed. He was pissed at the fact that I chuckled at what he said. And I'm like, this guy means business. I seen him smile once.
Well, I know the NFL knows he means business because they're trying to get him thrown off the case. The NFL has filed a motion to disqualify Bob Blitz from serving as the trial counsel for the city of St. Louis, which is a really bizarre type of motion to file when the case is 4 years old. They're going to be pointing to the fact that he's an essential witness because he was co-chair of the new stadium task force and was involved in the efforts to keep the St. Louis Rams in St. Louis. And their argument is, well, you can't be both the trial counsel and an essential fact witness, because it confuses the jury, and the jury might think that as a trial lawyer, your testimony might be more believable. And they're trying to get him thrown out. And I don't think it's going to succeed because they waited almost 4 years before filing that motion. And all the work that he did on the task force, there were others that did work on the task force.
Yes.
And I came across some case law and legal precedent that said if you're going to use this rule to disqualify a quote-unquote attorney/witness, he's got to be the only person who can give that testimony, not just one of several. So I think it's going to fail, but I think you're highlighting for me with your anecdote why the NFL must be fearing him as, presenting the city's case in front of a St. Louis jury. He must be a pretty good lawyer.
Yeah, yeah, and he definitely means business. You don't want him putting a blitz on you, that's for sure. That is Daniel Wallach. He's joining us on our Celebrity Line, sponsored by Cafe Piazza. Got the A-Train, Arton A-Train Lane. He wants to ask you a question.
Yeah, sure. Just a quick
question. Daniel, you got a chance.
If I come to St. Louis for the trial, would I get a discount at Cafe Piazza?
Oh, yeah, I got you a Cafe Piazza. You're going to eat free. And listen, we got Donkey Kong, NBA Jam. We got all the games, man. You got to come through.
You can play some darts or so.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
We got you. You got you.
So,
all right, we'll have a night out of St. Louis on January 9th. Go
ahead. See, now I got to come back home for that.
That's right.
That's exactly.
We'll see.
So, Daniel, real quick, I just wanted to know, one, he spoke about Derek King. How did you get in contact with Derek? How did that come about, you know, you two kind of just conversing about what's going on? How was Derek King a part of what you were trying to accomplish with the town hall with this lawsuit?
I think you know, it happened organically. You know, he had reached out. Listen, when I started to tweet about this stuff, I saw a lot of attention coming from, you know, people like Derek, yourself, and, you know, people started showing up in my timeline and my Twitter feed that, you know, they were like liking and retweeting. And, you know, I don't know if he reached out or I reached out. I almost forgot. But what I think he did was let us know that he had a lot to say about the story and had been following this for such a long time. And I think I talked to him on the phone once and he seemed mm-hmm. pretty legit. Again, you have to remember, a month and a half ago, I didn't know about any of this. I didn't even know. I knew this. I knew the major newspaper was the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Right.
But I didn't know any of the members of the media. I didn't know Ben. I didn't know Ben or Randy. I didn't know you. I didn't know Derek. I didn't know, you know, the guy, Joel Currier or whatever his name is, who goes to the court. If you had asked me to identify any media member from St. Louis, the only name I would have been able to come up with is Bob Costas, okay? and Brian Borwell. Those are the only... Of course, Howard Balzer. If you had given me truth serum, I would have known Howard Balzer because I was interviewed by him once on Radio Row. So you have to forgive me for, you know, how I make, you know, sort of approaches to different media members. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. And, you know, when I meet somebody like Derek and he's giving me some, like, you know, background, I'm very appreciative. So this is all coming at me very fast, and I'm trying to get the lay of the land in St. Louis. And I think I'm getting there. And a couple of weeks ago, I don't think I was anywhere near knowing who all the various media members are. So my apologies, guys, for not having you at the town hall. And, you know, maybe we could make it up on another episode, but Derek was very helpful.
And so speaking about Derek King, and I never got a chance to tell you how Derek King came over to In the Zone. I told you I covered the Rams from 2004 to 2016, and so it was pretty much a cold story, a cold case that they would say, you know, in sports or whatnot. So Derek called me up, and he was interested in writing about the NFL comeback to St. Louis. Nobody wanted to hear about it. Everybody was like, they didn't want no parts of it. I said, you know what, Derek? All right, let's see what you got. So he wrote a piece, and I read it, and I'm like, okay, and I sent it over to Arlington. I said, Arlington, what you think about it? He said, okay, let's run it. We ran it. He got a whole lot of hits. I'm like, okay. He wrote another piece. It was about the Big Red. He got a lot of big hits. I'm like, okay. We had him record a couple of times, and he just kept really getting better and better. He has been a true student. I call him the game. I nickname him the game. He's really good at absorbing information. And everything I told him, man, he's followed that up. And he's now enjoying the fruits of his labor. I couldn't be happier for him, man, because just like Brian Burwell, we talked about him. He put his arm around me, mentored me, gave me an opportunity. And so when Derek reached out to me, I just felt like this is me paying it back. You know what I'm saying? This is me paying it back. I don't have to be on ESPN or TNT to pay it back to somebody. You know what I'm saying? I paid it back right away, and I'm looking at what he's doing right now, and I just couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, he is very passionate about this issue, and he knows where all the bodies are buried. I mean, he sent me like files of, like, you know, I don't want to get into what he shared with me, but it's like he has a war room of, you know, St. Louis Ram, like, litigation stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, if there was a museum of this lawsuit, it would be housed at his, like, home or apartment or whatever. He has everything.
And that's
an invaluable resource.
And that's the thing that kind of freaks out the Randy characters or the Tim McKernans, where they don't want to, I would say, acknowledge, because sometimes in this market, and I don't know how it is in other places, but if you don't run in certain cliques and if you report on something, they just won't, as in wrestling, they would say they won't sell it, right? They won't sell the information. They won't sell it. You know, I watched in the town hall, and Derek was doing a great job, you know, and I wanted him to have that experience. But I noticed how some of those guys, they wasn't selling nothing, you know, that Derek was saying. And it's kind of one of those things that, that's how it is. It's unfortunate in this market, but I'm so proud of Derek because he just keeps on pushing and growing his own thing at Gateway City Media. You know, I'm proud of him.
Well, you know, you don't have to wait for somebody to give you permission to be relevant. You know, to join the club, you don't have to ask for permission. You just do it. You just be relentless about it. I mean, this is how I broke into sports law. You know, I didn't have, you know, any connections. I just started doing my thing. I don't think I was rubbing anybody the wrong way, like the establishment, but you always rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah.
You just stay true. You stay true to yourself and do things in your own voice and just be relentless. And especially in the social media age, where so much is you know, transmitted through Twitter, especially Twitter. If you've got something really good to report or say, you'll find your audience. Listen, everybody can have an opinion on Twitter, but I used a blog that was very, like, not well known, to be honest about it. And I used it to write about the Deflategate case. And I found an audience through Twitter, just like Derek is doing, and I think I'm doing in some part right now. This is like not the traditional media environment where you wait for the, you know, daily newspaper and Ben's column or the drive time radio show, where the information is limited to, like, you know, five or six different venues.
Yeah.
You can find, you know, your own niche. And in this space, if you've got good information and you're passionate and you're relentless, people are going to know about you. And it's not for the establishment to say that so-and-so is welcome. He just did it on his own, and he's arrived, just like in many ways I've done the same thing. I didn't wait for anyone to just extend a hand out to me, but just by the consistency and persistence and quality and just the reliability, you just become accepted after a while.
And see what you said. That is what the American dream is all about, isn't it? That what you just said, that is really
Dusty
what
Rhodes.
It is.
Dusty Rhodes.
and I'm thinking about that. I see the WWF in the background is conjuring up some great memories and whatnot. Do you ever get tempted to do a little Ultimate Warrior stick?
No, it was all about how they worked the mic in the promos.
Who's your favorite?
I care less about the matches.
Who's your favorite?
The promos where it was all about, and I think Dusty Rhodes might have given the most legendary promo speech, Hard Times.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. The Hard Times one is the one that stands out.
Yes.
As, I think, the greatest promo of all time, because it wasn't scripted.
Yeah.
And he spoke to the fan base in a way and identified with, you know, factory workers being laid off. I mean, some of it was just maybe he oversold it, but he just felt the authenticity. And, you know, people like Randy Macho Man Savage do these incredible promos that are hilarious because they play characters. Dusty Rhodes just cut right. Just something about, like, how he connected with his audience in a genuine way. So that's my favorite promo of all time. And that's the wrestling that I remember, mm-hmm. because promos were the reason I tuned in.
Mm-hmm. So, cover this lawsuit now. You're seeing a whole lot of characters. Who's the biggest character so far you've ever covered?
Oh, I don't think I've been around long enough to really point out people as characters. I think present company excluded.
Right. Right. Hey, talk about the podcast that you got. How'd that come about?
A friend of mine, Dan Worley, approached me about 5 years ago. He and I were fellow lawyers who were becoming very prominent on the legal commentary in Deflategate when Tom Brady was suspended over the air in the football. Dan Worley, who's now, by the way, general counsel for the Tennessee Titans. He's the top lawyer for the Titans and like the number three or number four person in the organization. So I guess I have a future if football comes back to St. Louis, or at least NFL football. Maybe there's a general counsel position in there. I think that should be my just reward. But he approached me about doing a podcast around 2016. And we started it, and we were getting pretty good at it, but he decided at some point to go into his own practice, law practice. I did the same thing, and then neither one of us had enough time to do the podcast, because when we were broadcasting on a regular basis, we had jobs, and people were paying us salaries, whether we did the podcast goofed off or unproductive or whatever. It didn't cut into our livelihood. When you go off into your own business, and you have to sort of generate your own income and your own client base, it's a lot harder to juggle all the responsibilities. So the podcast lay dormant for about a year to 2 years, and I revived it almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, with a story about how the new NFL collective bargaining agreement really disenfranchised the disabled retired players who saw their, and I'm talking about the permanent disabled players who were getting, like, you know, I forget what the characterization was, but the new CBA basically threw them under the bus.
Yeah.
And took away benefits from them. And I did a 3-part series on that, which really caught, really kind of caught a lot of attention, quoted in the newspaper, and then I got the bug to start doing it again. And I know I needed the partner. So that's why I asked Dan Lust to join me. And for the last year, we've been plugging away on this every week. He keeps me on schedule. I'm somebody who I could go a month and not do my show. He makes me do it every week. And by keeping me, on schedule, we were able to get to this place where we kind of meshed and started covering stories and being more professional. And it led to this. And I don't think we would have been doing this had he and I not struggled to sort of figure out a way to work together every week. And by the time we got to St. Louis, we were kind of a finely tuned engine.
And I want to ask you, too, what gets you in the zone?
Oh, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of things. Cappuccino. walking my dog in the forest. Walking with my wife. But you know what really gives me so much excitement? When I dive into these issues and I find something that no one else has found, the work really gets me in the zone. I enjoy that as much as anything that I do. So I would say I'm driven by my passion for what I do. Luckily, work and my interests align in lockstep with one another, and I do something I truly love doing. So that gets me in the zone. And thankfully for St. Louis, I've been in the zone quite a bit lately.
I like that. Hey, tell our listeners the best way to keep up with you.
All right. Well, listen, there are a lot of ways, but the easiest way is on Twitter. My handle is @WallachLegal, WallachLegal. And also through Conduct Detrimental, our podcast Twitter handle is @ConDetrimental. Or just type in my name, Daniel Wallach, in St. Louis, and you'll find me probably commenting on the evening news about the Rams relocation lawsuit. But Twitter is where it's at. This is where you and I connected. This is where Derek and I connected. This is where I've met everybody. Twitter is like the St. Louis Rams relocation community.
All right. Thank you so much. You know we're going to be in touch. I appreciate you coming on the show. We had our own personal townhouse. I loved it, man.
Town hall. I like your town hall quite a bit. The theme music was definitely a first. I'm going to have to incorporate it, but I'm going to use like Bruce Springsteen in the background for my theme music. Is there a Chuck Berry Hall of Fame in St. Louis? Because if I come to St. Louis, I need a list of tourist attractions for the first couple of days in January before the trial starts. So I need to know where to go.
I got you. I'm definitely send you down to Sugar Fire downtown. Definitely Sugar Fire. Sugar Fire Barbecue.
Oh, that's my favorite. I love barbecue. I hear St. Louis has some legendary barbecue.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, way better than Kansas City.
But what's the difference? What's the difference? Because I've had Kansas City barbecue.
Oh, the difference? Everything. I'm just being petty. I'm sorry.
There is a slight twang, too, especially when it comes to the sauce, because
that's what incorporates with St. Louis barbecue. One place you can also go is, I can't even think of it off the top. It was on Food Network. I can't even think of it.
But there's another place that's been on Food Network. It's called Grace Meats. You would love that. Yeah. You would. They got. Oh man, it's just awesome. They've been on Food Network. So I got all the Food Network joints to sing to. That's fine.
Okay, do you have any cardiologists on call?
You know, Hashim Raza, my boy Hashim Raza. How about that?
Yeah.
Hashim Raza, he's a doctor, one of our followers.
So much for Crown Candy if you're talking about going to cardiologist.
I don't know, but I'm getting on Andy. I'm getting on Andy at Crown Candy to get some turkey.
Whoa, wait a second. I know that guy. I followed him on Twitter. He has like a candy. What's the deal with Crown and Candy?
So,
what is that?
So Crown Candy has been a St. Louis staple since like the early 1900s. They do the old school malts. Old school milk chocolate. I mean, they still got the old school boots. Just the smells. You know, the Rubens, the BLTs. That's another joint. Yeah.
I'm gonna reach out to him. Maybe he could sponsor my trip to St. Louis.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, tag him, man. Let him know you did the interview. Andy knows me, man. We cool. I've been drinking milkshakes since over 40 years. I've been drinking milkshakes for 40 years there.
I looked at the menu. I looked at you followed me. I go, that's pretty interesting. Is that like a restaurant? And I clicked on the link and I saw like this old school, sort of neighborhood, like luncheonette type of, menu. And I go, wow, this looks pretty good. I may have to, hit him up for some or just stop by when I'm in St. Louis.
Oh, definitely stop by Crown Candy. Andy going to take good care of you. That's for sure. Listen, Andy, I know how you felt about football, but let's be nice to our boy Dave. Be nice to our
man. Listen, it's hard to find a good BLT, black and white malted BLT, just like old school type of fare that they don't have these places anymore. They're just like in cities, they're just like kind of going away and being replaced by chains.
Yeah.
To find like one of these old school luncheonette, kind of neighborhood places. They're like a dying breed, so I'm glad that the tradition, remains in a place like St. Louis, and you have restaurants like this.
Yeah, you definitely got to check out Crown Candy, man. You have to check it out, man. You mean Adam Rickman? I don't know if you ever watched Man vs. Food. He did the milkshake challenge there. He lost it. I wouldn't recommend drinking that many milkshakes, but they're awesome. If you like malts, I mean, they're just fantastic. They don't get a better than Crown.
All right, well, you're luring me to St. Louis with your description of all these fine restaurants. And I have to tell you, I'm gonna be there anyway, and I hate to break the news that as excited as I am about this trial, I have a strong feeling that the NFL will find a way to settle it.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't settle, because I'd like to experience all these individuals under oath, in the witness box, with the gaze of 12 jurors. Looking at them, this is like dramatic moments in the history of the National Football League. Nothing like they've ever experienced, but I think it might be too good to be true. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this will actually happen, because it will be a historic 8-week trial.
Yeah, it will. And I feel like once the story is over, I feel like a chapter in my life will be closed, because I feel like I've lived this for too long, and I'm ready for this to be over.
Yeah, you never know. If you get to an appeal, and then an appeals court reverses and remands for another trial, and we do it all over again. Yeah. So, if this runs the distance with no settlements, post-trial could last a couple of years through the various levels of appeal, the Missouri Court of Appeals, the Missouri Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. If the NFL digs in and the city digs in and it's just mano a mano and they just fight it out in the court system, it could be years before this draws to a close.
And I think I told a friend of mine, I said, I think a lot of people are hoping that the court of public opinion, the losses that the NFL can't continue to keep taking, the John Gruden, there's another scandal that's out there, they're going to have to do something. So I think this may be the best opportunity for St. Louis to do something. This is the window, I believe. If it goes past this, I believe you're right. I really believe you're right, though. If it goes past this, without any settlement, I think the NFL, got a shot. I really do. Because right now, I feel like they're probably as vulnerable as possible on all fronts, especially with all the hits they're taking.
Yeah, they're gonna get slaughtered in a jury of St. Louis citizens of Bob Blitz. Their only hope for winning, I think, is to hope that the damage amount that the judge instructs the jury in a way to, you know, reduce the sort of exposure that the NFL faces, because the city is suing for the relocation fee of $500 million and then the increase in the value of the Rams team when they went to Los Angeles. I mean, I don't know whether that's even recoverable, but that could be the whole ball game right there if the judge crafts his jury instructions in a way to minimize the economic harm to the NFL, and that remains to be seen. I don't think he's going to do that because he would have kicked that out of the case mm-hmm. on summary judgment, but the NFL is going to lose. I just can't imagine going into any Missouri jury, and the state court system has a real reputation of being a pro-plaintiffs bar. I think if the NFL doesn't settle, they're accepting the fact that they're going to lose at trial mm-hmm. and are confident in their chances on appeal. Mm.
All right, Dan, thank you so much. You know we're going to definitely be in touch with you. You're listening to In the Zone, and this is the network.
This is Shanika Benson with A-List Realtors. We are a full-service real estate company. We are here to help you buy, sell, even purchase your first investment property. We're here to make home ownership easy and affordable and educate you on everything you need to know about real estate. When it comes to needing a realtor, I'm your girl. 314-565-9738. If it's about real estate, I'm woke.
This is Leslie Trice with Legacy Title and Escrow. We are a full-service title company. If you need anything in your title service world, give me a call. 314-380-8600. We go above and beyond by design at Legacy Title.
For neighborhood fun and great pizza, stop by at Cafe Piazza, located at 1900 Arsenal Street in South City, St. Louis. It's just a block away from the Anheuser-Busch Brewery at the corner of Arsenal and Lim. Check out either their original hand-tossed pizzas, which are baked with mozzarella, parmigiana, and Mediterranean oregano, or their thick-crust Sicilian pizzas baked in olive oil along with Sicilian tomato filet sauce and Mediterranean oregano. They also have panini sandwiches, soups, and salads that can go along with your meal. You can also stop in for their brunch every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Cafe Piazza also brings fun to the neighborhood next door with the Benton Parkade, an entertaining spot filled with pool tables, arcade games, darts, and more. So head on over to Cafe Piazza and the Benson Parkade, located at 1900 Arsenal Street at the corner of Arsenal and Limp. Open Monday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday from 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday from 10 a.m. to midnight, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m.